It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
This will be the final segment by way of introduction to the book of 1 John. I've entitled this fourth lesson, What is a True Convert? And so we've been kind of going back and looking at what the book of John, 1 John is going to be all about, who John is that wrote this. And last session we did, what is a false convert? So this lesson we're going to do, what is a true convert? So we're going to look at the attributes of a true convert in light of preparation for the test that we're going to see in 1 John. So I kind of just want to continue in this introductory mode, just setting us up as we're going to dive into the book. That way we kind of know what it is we're going to be looking at, comparing ourselves to, and how best to examine ourselves. We have basically some clear distinctions of what a true convert is, and that's kind of what I want to go over in this session. And over, John talks about those who know him will keep his commandments. Those that do not are a liar, and the truth is not in him. That's 1 John 2:4. And basically, you know, he's telling us here that it's very blunt. He's very bold about it. You know, if you keep his commandments, if you do the will of the Lord, you're in him. If you don't, you're a liar. And that's really strong language, but I mean, how much clearer can it be said? You know, it's pretty straightforward, and it's something that we should all take great interest to hear what he's saying there. You know, we want to strive to keep the commandments of the Lord, and in our heart, we're wanting to do so. And so that's really the big thing. It's not that we're going to keep every single commandment over and over and over. We're never going to mess up. That's not the point of what he's trying to get at here. He's basically just saying, in your heart, you should be wanting to do the will of the Lord and striving your best to do so and asking the Holy Spirit to help you to do that. That is the characteristic and pattern of a Christian. So it's not the perfection aspect, but it's the direction that you're going. You may have heard that before. And let me explain that a little bit. It's not going to be this that you're ever going to attain, you know, your perfect attributes of a Christian here on earth, and that you're going to be completely holy and perfect. That's not the case. We know that. We're striving to go in an upward direction of holiness. We are striving to look more and more like Christ every day. And through that process of sanctification, we will get there. We will begin to conform our lives into a pattern that is more Christ-like, never attaining perfection until we actually go on to glory with the Lord. But here on earth, we can grow in our sanctification and be dying to certain sins that we maybe were once enslaved to. So I think that's a really good key reminder to take away from that. Your overall life cannot be characterized by habitual sin. You should maybe look at that and look at your whole life in light of that concept. If your life, if you can look at that and the whole scope of it as you look back from once you professed Christ, if there's still this habitual sin that you continue to dive into over and over and over, and you try to make excuses for it, you try to justify it, that is not characteristic of a true convert. A true Christian will stumble into sin at times, but they won't dive into it and swim around in it and then make excuses for it and not face it head on. So that's something else that these are kind of these overarching themes that are characteristic of a true convert. So we're going to just run through a couple of these characteristics. Well, there's more than a couple, but you can just kind of listen in, and there will be different scripture references I'm going to give as I'm talking throughout this. So just keep that in mind. We're not going to turn there now to those, but you can look at them in your study notes. I'll put them there. But as we kind of go through this list, the first one I'm going to kind of start out with here, and thanks to James, he's going to help us out with this first one in his book. He says that faith without works is dead. That is something that has been misinterpreted and has been used wrongly by a lot of people. Mormons tend to like to focus on this, basing their salvation on their works. Now, we don't base our salvation on works. We know that. We are saved by the blood of Christ and his atonement and repentance of our sins and confession that he is Lord. That is what saves us, not our works. But our faith without our works is dead, because true saving faith will just ultimately result in faithful actions, a faithful attitude a repentant heart, a desiring to be more like Christ. So faith without works is dead is a concept that your life, whenever someone looks at the things that you do, the things you watch, the things you see, and I'm not trying to be legalistic here, but are they characteristic of a Christian? And that's something to think about. I want you to pause and think about that. Are the movies that you see, the things that you watch on TV, the language with what you speak, how you talk to one another, is it gossipy? Is it just idle chatter? Is it foolish quarrels? The Bible speaks on all of those things. And so what is your actions and your language and what comes out of your mouth? What is that characteristic of? A believer or a non-believer? So people are looking at our actions to bear witness to our testimony. So I think that's really important to always kind of keep that in mind. A true convert will live a life of faith, and works will be basically bearing witness to that. The scripture tells us that out of the mouth flows the heart. So, you know, if you have a heart that is full of pride and slander and malice and things like that, where that is what is characteristic of you, well, that's going to flow out of your mouth. So keep that in mind. You know, look at the way in which you conduct your life. And is that characteristic of the things that Christ wants in us as believers? I want you to think about that. Something else is not just having head knowledge and basically just knowing what the Bible says, but not actually keeping the commandments or trying to do the will of the Father. You will actually agree with God about your sin. That is very crucial. True believers will agree with God about their sin and what sin is, and they will war against it, and they will confess it, and they will hate it just as much as God hates sin. So that is something that I want you to kind of focus in on, that the sins that you commit, do you just kind of brush them off like, oh, that's just a little white lie. That's not going to hurt anyone. It's no big deal. It is a big deal. Lying is a big deal. And I know some people who profess to be Christians who habitually lie in their life. And that is not characteristic of a believer. That does not line up with what the Word of God says. Also, in the Beatitudes, it gives us some really good characteristics of what a Christian is whenever it's talking about he is poor in spirit. And a true Christian will never look as he is self-satisfied and or prideful. So, you know, we all battle the flesh and we all wrestle with that, definitely. So inwardly, you know, we may be self-seeking or something like that. We need to confess that. And our actual character that people see, it should never come across that we are very boastful and prideful and self-seeking. We should really seek to be meek and poor in spirit and let others see that attribute in us. And then when we do feel that inside of us, we do need to confess it and bring that before the Lord. We will, as true believers, we will mourn over our sin, kind of as I've already touched before. We will definitely be grieved when we are sinning. We don't want to do that. We hate it when it happens. Like Paul said, I do the things that I don't want to do, and the things that I do, I shouldn't do. And, you know, it's that same concept of wrestling with the flesh and not ever being satisfied with sin. You should never be in that mindset of doing that. And I want to read 1 John 1, 6 through 8. This is another aspect. I want you to listen to this. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Again, I love how blunt John is by telling us, if you do this, you're in. If you're doing this, you're a liar and the Father is not in him. That's so blunt and so bold, and it's just so applicable for this lesson because it's basically telling us that our whole character and personality will reflect where our true allegiance lies. So if we're saying that we're one thing and we're doing something totally contradictory to what it says a believer is, then the Father is not in us. It's just that simple. You can't continually do that over and over and over and believe that you're saved. That is a contradiction to the Word of God. We just heard it. Also, a true convert will face all of Scripture, let it sink in. They're not going to be in a hurry. They won't be impatient, and they're going to take the time to read it in its full, whether that be that scripture or that passage you're in for that day or whatever the Lord says about a particular thing you're looking at. You're not going to go through and cherry pick verses and be like, oh, yep, that fits. That's going to apply to my life. Yep, God is love. Okay, I'm good. Well, you need to keep reading the whole counsel of God. What does it also say? Psalm 7:11 says that the Lord is angry with the sinner every day. So that doesn't match up with God is love. There's a tension there. So you need to read the full counsel of God, not just cherry pick it. And true converts will do that. They will dive into scripture and they will see what it is that the Lord says about that topic, about whatever it is they're going through, about their sin, about eternal issues, about eternal security. What is the gospel? They're going to look at all of that in full, and they won't be impatient and hurriedly rush through it just to get the answer they want. A true convert will also set his heart on prayer and not on worldly things in his request. So that's really important to remember, that we don't want to look at just worldly things in our prayer request. What is it that we're actually praying for? Is it for the salvation of lost friends and family? Is it asking for repentance over our sin, doing our daily repentance, not for our salvation, but in order to grow in our sanctification? Are we confessing things that come up in our life? That's real important to think about. And I want you to listen to what Martin Lloyd-Jones says in his book, The Studies on the Sermon on the Mount. I've mentioned this often, and I just find it very, very helpful for this topic. He says, "It means that a man's supreme desire is to do these things and to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. It means he is a man who not only wants forgiveness, not only wants to escape hell and go to heaven, quite as much, in a sense, he wants positive holiness in this life and in this world. That is the man who builds upon the rock. He is a man who desires and prays for holiness and strives after it. You know that you will never bring yourself to perfection, but your desire, your effort, is to that end. And all the time, you are relying upon the Holy Spirit who has been given you to enable you to do so." So that's really, really encouraging there. He's telling us what it looks like to be a Christian and who that man is, or that lady, that is striving to seek God's holiness in their life. And those were some really critical statements that he said there. So listen to this, though. "If, on the other hand, you find you cannot answer these tests satisfactorily, there is but one inevitable conclusion. You have been building upon the sand, and your house will collapse. It will do so for certain on the next day of judgment, and it may well do so before that, when the next war comes, perhaps when the hydrogen bomb is let loose, or when you lose your money, your goods, your possessions. You will see then that you have nothing." So is that characteristic of your life? Are you banking on worldly things or on your own goodness to get you to heaven? Or were you able to pass those tests that I went through? And those were just a few. That's not near all of the ones we're going to go through in the book of 1 John. But I think it's a great time just to stop and examine ourselves and see if we really are in the faith. Are these things characteristic of our life? Or is there something that we might be lacking? Is there an area where you're not fully submitted to Christ that you're holding on to? I want to challenge you to self-examine yourself today. And if you find anything within yourself that the Holy Spirit reveals to you through prayer that you need to confess and bring to the Lord, I ask that you would do it today. You'll find this lesson under the Bible Study tab, Lesson 4, What is a True Convert?